This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's talk about something nobody wants to believe could actually happen, but it absolutely can. I know, we don't like it talking about those things. If this image right back here enrages you, the idea of Brian Koberger cashing in on the killings that he did, well, then listen up, because here's where the law stands right now, and here's what can be done. This is a blueprint. If you're enraged, then do something about it. Start making some calls. Start letting some legislators know, we need to fix this right now. Very, very fast. Get organized. Because if you don't, Koberger's going to have a payday. He is. Unless we stop it. So here's what's going on. Brian Koberger, convicted murderer, sitting in an Idaho prison for killing the four University of Idaho students, could one day make money off the story of what he did. Profit for murder. It's not a rumor. That's not a hypothetical cooked up by online sleuths. It's not clickbait. But there's Son of Sam laws. Yes, there are. Not in Idaho. That's where this matters. It's a straightforward legal reality because Idaho has no Son of Sam laws, no statutes stopping criminals from monetizing their notoriety. Why? Your guess is as good as mine. But it doesn't have to be that way. So what does it mean when there's no Son of Sam laws? Well, it means anytime he could give interviews, sell his truth, publish prison writings, or license his life story for a docuseries, and it would all be perfectly legal. You can't take the money. It has to go to the victims. No, it doesn't. Not the way the law works right now. Again, this is one of those stories where here's how the system is broken. I'm telling you now. I am telling you now, here's how the system is broken before it is bastardized, and we're doing this story after the fact, after he has $1 million in his bank account. Before you roll your eyes and say, that could never happen here, understand this. It already has again and again where states left the door open. America's map of Son of Sam laws looks like a quilt. 50 states, 50 interpretations, most riddled with loopholes. Some protect victims, some pretend to, and a few like Idaho never even tried. That's not a paperwork error. That's an engraved invitation. A glowing vacancy sign for infamy for a predator. Idaho's criminal code is built for conduct, burglary, assault, homicide. But it says nothing about what happens after. The marketplace for notoriety. When a murderer becomes a household name, that name has value. And because there's no law claiming it for the victims, it becomes or just belongs to the killer. You see how we got here? You have to rewind back to 1977. New York City. The Summer of Sam. David Berkowitz was sending letters to newspapers and shooting strangers. When police caught him, the world wanted to know why. Publishers smelled profit. Checks were offered for exclusive rights to his story. Everyone was appalled, including New York lawmakers. They created the first Son of Sam law. Any money a criminal made from their story would be seized and put into a victim's fund. Simple, moral, and correct, right? But then came 1991, Simon & Schuster v. Crime Victims Board. The Supreme Court struck it down, 8-0. The court said, you can't punish speech because of its content. You can't single out stories about crime and impose special financial burdens on them. That violates the First Amendment. So the law meant to stop murderers from profiting was declared unconstitutional. The intention was noble, the structure wasn't. After that, states scrambled to rewrite their own versions, trying to target the money flow, not the words themselves. And some succeeded. Others watered it down into meaningless jargon. In Idaho? We're good. We don't need that. I never wrote one at all. Let's make it real. Imagine a producer approaches Koberger in 5 years, maybe after his appeals die off. They want to make a limited series, Inside the Mind of the Moscow Killer, whatever the hell they want to call it. He can't legally profit from murder merchandise. No one's printing Team Brian shirts, but he can license his life rights. He can consult. He can sign away creative approval in exchange for compensation routed through someone else. He could write letters, essays, or a memoir. He could dictate his thoughts to a ghostwriter on recorded calls. He could have his family act as intermediaries. He could funnel royalties into a trust, all legal because Idaho law is silent, and that silence in legal terms is permission. If you think this is far-fetched, look at precedent. Charles Manson's interviews boosted book and film sales for decades. O.J. Simpson's If I Did It, remember that? Was printed, seized, and reissued under court order. Killers in multiple states have sold paintings, signed memorabilia, and given paid media exclusives when local statutes didn't block it. Even every single time a gap exists, someone steps through it. It's the nature of predators. They're going to do it, and he's going to do it too, unless somebody stops him. Infamy is currency. The darker the crime, the higher the market value. And true crime as an industry, streaming, podcast, documentaries, is a multi-billion dollar ecosystem hungry for content. And just because your favorite podcasters may say, well, there's no way in hell we're going to do that, doesn't mean there ain't going to be somebody that will. When the justice system doesn't draw a boundary, the market will. And the market doesn't have a conscience. Now, yes, families can sue. They can bring wrongful death actions, ask a court to freeze assets, or petition for restitution. But that's a chase, not a safeguard. Restitution covers tangible losses, funeral bills, therapy, lost wages. It doesn't cover royalties or intellectual property. And civil suits move slower than streaming deals. By the time a judgment comes down, the profits can be gone, buried in paper companies, covered and converted to gifts, or sitting in someone else's account. So let's not go on defense here. Let's go on offense. The system leaves victims fighting an invisible ledger. And that's not justice. That's re-victimization. There's a deeper sickness going on here. The idea that notoriety itself is valuable. That if your crime is brutal enough, society owes you a platform. We don't let burglars keep the stolen goods, but we let killers keep the royalties from the story of stealing lives. That's the contradiction rotting inside the law. It tells good people their pain is private, but tells monsters their story is public property and profitable. When a state refuses to close that door, it's not neutrality, it's complicity. This isn't complicated. Idaho could pass a law tomorrow called the Notoriety Proceeds Protection Act, or whatever the hell they want to name it. It wouldn't ban speech. It would simply hold money in escrow whenever a convicted felon receives payment related to their crime or notoriety. Here's how it could work. Any contract or payment tied to a crime story gets automatically reported to the Attorney General. The funds are frozen. Victims and their families are notified. They get first claim to the proceeds. Whatever's left goes to the offender, but only after the victims are made whole. No censorship, no constitutional crisis, just accountability and a very, very high dollar amount, which means those victims, obviously, they will never be made whole. So all that money keeps going back to them. It's a content-neutral financial mechanism, precisely what the Supreme Court said was permissible. Critics will scream, First Amendment! But the First Amendment protects expression, not enrichment. You can say anything you want. You just can't profit from the pain you caused. So go ahead, tell your fucking story. But you're not going to get more money in your canteen for it. The same way a drug kingpin can't sell his story and hide behind free speech. Or a hacker can't profit off the data he stole. Speech is free, consequence isn't. Yet we've built a culture that treats infamy as opportunity, a line between journalism and spectacle, vanished somewhere between the press conference and the Netflix trailer. And the law, terrified of looking authoritarian, hides behind its own paperwork. We already know Koberger's psychological profile: detached, methodical, hungry for control. People like that don't fade quietly. They crave relevance. Even in a cell, attention is oxygen, and every headline keeps them alive a little longer. Every debate feeds the mythology, and money, well, that's validation. It tells them the world still wants something only they can give, access to their darkness. That is not rehabilitation. That's fame by other means. At sentencing, the judge practically pleaded with the public, don't give him what he wants. Don't feed the attention economy that sustains him. Don't make a commodity out of carnage. But moral warnings don't carry legal weight. Only statutes do. So unless Idaho's legislature acts, the judge's warnings become prophecy. I mean, let's picture this. The inevitable headline. If nothing changes, convicted killer Brian Koberger signs exclusive deal for jailhouse memoir. Imagine the families reading that. The same families who sat through months of testimony, autopsy photos, surveillance footage, all being released to the public, forced to hear their children described in clinical detail by the man who took their lives. And now they'd watch him do it for profit. That's the price of legislative cowardice. Every day that law doesn't exist, that future stays possible. So what can Idaho do right now? Well, they can draft a bill, model it after New York's revised version, which survived court challenges because it focuses on where the money goes, not where the person, or not what the person says, and make compliance automatic. No loopholes, no discretion. Define notoriety proceeds broadly. Any payment reasonably attributable to a person's conviction or notoriety include indirect compensation. Shares, gifts, trusts, crypto, require studios, publishers, and platforms to file disclosure notices within 30 days of signing any deal with a convicted felon. Penalize non-reporting. Create an automatic lien for victims. Keep it clean, constitutional, and enforceable. And you know what it also prevents? It prevents any creator from thinking, well, if I get that interview with him, I'm going to make money. No, it doesn't. It means you're just wasting your time. It means you're giving a platform to a monster in which you too will not profit from. So it doesn't really make him a target for a creator. Because they'd just be wasting their time. And again, giving a voice to a monster and getting nothing in return. It's legislative housekeeping, not heroism, really. But the political risk, minimal. The moral payoff, immense. So these things can be done. They can. They have. We're going to hear excuses, though. So be prepared for brick walls. We don't have time this session. It's a niche issue. There's no evidence Koberger plans to do that. there was no evidence necessarily that he was planning on murdering those four kids either that was necessarily actionable. It's exactly what every state said before their own scandals erupted. No one plans for outrage until it's already trending. And we're very good at reacting to things rather than being proactive. So I'm throwing it out there right now. Be proactive. Then don't bitch when he makes millions of dollars off of murder. And by then, the book's printed, the documentary shot, and the damage is permanent. You can't unring that bell. Streaming networks are already adapting to the gap. They love access. They'll court anyone who can give them the killer's perspective, even if it's through intermediaries. They'll call it rehabitive storytelling or educational context. But underneath, it's the same transaction, blood turned into bandwidth. If there's no legal penalty, profit wins every time. That is what happens when morality is optional and outrage expires faster than a news cycle. We have lawmakers who will campaign on protecting unborn children, religious freedom, gun rights, you name it, but not one that has the courage to stand up and say, we're not letting murderers profit from murder. Because it's not a talking point that wins elections. It's just the right thing to do. And doing the right thing without applause is apparently too heavy a lift. If Idaho doesn't act, what could happen next? Well, it gets normalized. We start seeing killers as content providers, and we start hearing their versions. We start giving them podcasts, interviews, docuseries, cameos, and we tell ourselves it's journalism, but it's voyeurism with better lighting. And when victims' families protest, we call them emotional, biased, or vengeful because outrage is inconvenient to profit. That's a moral inversion that we're living in. Some will say, but Tony, he'll never get away with that. Nobody would pay him. Really? We've watched society throw money at monsters for decades. From Manson to Bundy to the Night Stalker, infamy sells, even posthumously. The internet never forgets, and neither does the market. Koberger doesn't need to earn millions. He just needs to one deal to prove that evil still pays when the law doesn't interfere. Free speech must include the right to profit. No, it doesn't. The government isn't silencing speech when it regulates proceeds. It's protecting victims from secondary harm. The Supreme Court struck down a bad law, not the concept of restitution. The justices even left a path open. Draft it carefully. Focus on financial flow, not expression. But lawmakers heard unconstitutional and walked away forever. We have to stop shrugging and start shaming. Shame. Shame is important. It moves policy faster than logic. It's underrated. It really is. When voters call out legislators by name, when local media covers the gap, when victims' families testify publicly, that's when change happens. Silence protects systems. Noise disrupts them. So let's strip it down to the human cost. Four college students are gone. Kaylee Gonzalez, Madison Mogan, Zenner Kernodle, Ethan Chapin. The parents live with that vacuum every single day. And somewhere, Boise lawmakers are ignoring a bill that could prevent their killer from cashing in on their pain. That's not bureaucracy. That's cruelty by neglect. The justice system prides itself on finality, verdict, sentence, closure. But justice isn't final if the killer still owns the narrative. It's not closure if the person who destroyed lives gets to profit from the aftermath. Idaho doesn't have to ban speech. It just has to stop rewarding murder. One statute, one paragraph, 1 ounce of courage. If this law isn't created, isn't passed, it's not because it's impossible. It's because it's inconvenient. It requires moral clarity in a system addicted to loopholes. Because loopholes don't just happen. They're written by people who benefit from ambiguity. And the absence of a law is sometimes the loudest law of all. Free speech is not free profit. And freedom without responsibility is moral bankruptcy. Brian Koberger will never see daylight again, but if Idaho lawmakers keep their eyes closed, he might still see royalties. That's the choice in front of them. Not constitutional theory, conscience. Justice doesn't end when the cell door locks. It ends when the victim's story is no longer for sale. Because if a man like Brian Koberger ever profits from his crimes, it won't just be his hands that are dirty. It'll be ours for letting it happen. So do something. If you're in Idaho, especially if you're in Idaho. Because you know what? Idaho lawmakers don't give a shit about people who don't live in Idaho. It's not their jurisdiction. It's not their job. Okay. So if you're there, you are the ones who hold the key to this kingdom. Get something going. And stop the madness before it has a chance to start. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. Hit subscribe too while you're there so you don't miss any of this. We'll keep pushing this. We'll keep talking about this. People need to be enraged, and there needs to be something there to stop it. Because he will profit, guaranteed, unless we stop it. So if you're in Idaho and you're listening and you're affected, you have a voice. Sometimes people listen when there's enough. Make it heard. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again really.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.